We have been going through the book of Galatians. We left off last week. We had gone through Galatians chapter 5, 1 through 12, and we left off with this. And if you remember, Jesus on the cross is demonstrating his love for us. And I love this particular slide because that is the sign, not for Spider-Man, and nor is that the sign for the Italians. That is the sign language for I love you. And that's what Jesus is saying when he's up on that cross. While you're still a yet sinner, he's saying, I love you and I died for you. And so, listen, all the people who are legalists, let me tell you something. I'm trying to rope you back into being burdened with all the minute things of the law. They didn't die for you. And neither did the people that says, oh, you can do whatever you want with the life. They didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. And he died so that you could have freedom in Christ. And as we're going through the book of Galatians, we're finishing up here probably in this next month. We go through book by book, verse by verse, so that everybody could understand what the Word of God says for themselves. And so people aren't ripping scriptures out of context and whatnot. But the book of Galatians is called the Magna Carta of Christian Liberty, or even the Christian's Declaration of Independence, and it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And when I think of that, I honestly think about John chapter 8, and I don't know if you know this story. Some of you may, some of you may not. I'm sorry, you guys okay back there? George, you guys all right? Okay, so at John chapter 8, there was a woman, and what happened was Jesus, he was teaching, actually came over the Mount of Olives, and if you've been to Israel, you know, and I know you've been there too, Pastor Gary, it's a beautiful thing, especially early dawn before it gets really hot, the beautiful, the sun, the colors, it's still in the cool of day, and he came over the Mount of Olives, and he went up on the temple, and it says that he sat down, and he started teaching the people. All the people gathered, and we're listening to him. And I really like that. Back then, the teachers used to stand, and a teacher used to sit, and everybody else used to stand. I don't know how we got things reversed, but anyway. And he sat, and all these people, and Jesus was teaching them. And right as in the beauty of the morning dew and seeking the Lord and teaching God's word, and here Jesus is sharing the heart and the love of the Lord and the freedom. And then all of a sudden, I can just imagine it like a big rustle with a lot of these self-righteous Pharisees and Sadducees. You see, they were making their way through the crowd, breaking, hustling and bustling everybody. And here's this woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Now, they had brought them before Jesus publicly in front of all these people, not to see what he would have to say, but they did it to trap him before the people. And now, where was the guy who was also involved in the adultery? Somehow he was missing. But anyway, these self-righteous Pharisees put this woman and threw her before him, and basically they demanded, they said, hey, the law says, you know, that we need to stone her, right? That's what the law says. He was caught in the middle of adultery, you know, and what do you say, Jesus? And they did this to trap him, the Bible says. And it says what he did was very interesting. It says he stopped. Now, if I get stuck down here, Joe, you're going to have to help me up. But it says that he stooped down and he began writing in the sand. And writing and writing. Now, what he was writing, we don't really know because it doesn't say. So I just have it in my mind. I think he was writing names and sins. And he wrote, and he said, hey, he said, whoever is without sin here, you can be the one that casts the first stone to stone her. And it says, and he continued to write. And as he wrote, I can see them looking around. What is he writing? What is he? And it says, from the oldest, they all had stones ready to kill her. And it says, that they left from oldest to the youngest. Because probably had more time, more sins accrued. and they just dropped the stones. And it says that this woman before Jesus knelt before him, and he said something really beautiful. It says in John chapter 8, verse 10, it says, Jesus, he stood up again, and he said to the woman, he said, hey, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you, right? And she said, no, Lord, she said. And this is interesting to me, because when Christ gives us freedom, hey, where are your accusers? Where are your condemners? Where are these self-righteous people? Where is all this shame? Is there anyone here to accuse you? And she said, no, there's not. Now, Jesus said something that was really beautiful. And he said, neither do I. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, you are forgiven. I'm not here. You are forgiven, daughter. But the thing is, even though he gave her this beautiful freedom, he didn't. Let me ask you. Did Jesus go to her and say, hey, now that you're free, now that there's no one to condemn you, now that there's no one to accuse you, now that there's no shame, now, you know what? Go back and let's hit it again. Go for it. Go back to your old life. Does he say that in John chapter? Hey, let's go back to the party and go back to the drug. Go ahead, get drunk, the prostitution, the guy. Is that what he said? Those of you who know, what did Jesus say? Booyah. He said, go and sin no more. And that's important. I've draped you in the blood of Christ. You can see, I don't know, this is from Ron, I think it's pronounced Diacini. He was the first person that encouraged me to do scripture pictures. I just loved his work. But he says, go and sin no more. Once you've been given freedom in Christ, right? You've been given that for a reason. And he doesn't want you to go back to that old lifestyle, that old thinking, he's saying, I want you to live a new life. If you just said, oh, well, now that I'm free, I can do whatever the heck I want, I'm saved. Woo-hoo! Right? No. He said, go and sin no more. Now, I put this up here. No, did I actually put it up there? Anyway, now most Christians understand when they get saved, what they need to be freed from. I mean, better way to say it is they understand when you get saved, I mean, what you have been freed from. I mean, I've been freed from blank, right? All that sin, all that guilt, all that shame, I'm free from it. And when you get saved, you're just so thankful because you know you're a wretch apart from Jesus, right? You're not a good person, at least when you compare it to the holiness of God. When you come to the Lord, you have to see yourself as undone, right? But he says, I don't condemn you anymore. But he says, go and sin no more. So most Christians understand what they've been freed from, but they don't understand what they've been freed for. Does that make sense? So when we get saved, I'm so thankful I'm saved. The tears flow and the thing, oh, thank God I'm saved. And then, okay, good, I'm saved. Now let's go back and let me do what I want. No, you are freed for a reason. You are freed for a purpose. You are freed for a mission. You are freed to do work for him, not work for yourself. You are freed to live freely for him in obedience to him. Does that make sense? That's what freedom is. We're going to read the verses that we're going to cover today. If you knew, you would read with me. And Chris, could you hit the lights for a second? And we're going to read this together. So open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. And I want us to read this passage if you're not there yet. And if you don't have a Bible, let us know, because we'll give you one for free. Or if you watch online, please let us know. We'll send you a Bible. We'll send you a devotional. We'll send you anything you need, anything you want that would encourage you in the Lord and encourage you in His Word. But it says this, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, 13, and I'm going to read, let's say 13 through, I'll say 13 through 16, but I'm going to try to make it all to about 20. So let's go to Galatians chapter 15, and I'm going to start in verse 13, Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13, all right? Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You, my brothers, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Verse 14 says, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15 says, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I'm going to read one more. Verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you don't do what you want. Verse 18, I'm going to read that too. Anyway, sorry. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay? So we start off in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And it says, and I love this scripture picture, because it starts off, you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. Now, the reason why I like this picture, why I think it's so beautiful, because it shows chains at either end, right? You can all see that from where you're sitting, right? Do you see that? The chains have been melted, shattered, disintegrated, right, by the cross. Can you see that in the picture? And to me, this picture represents, on the one side, legalism and the law and the weight that it carries. And you have to do everything just perfectly and just so. And we're going to nail you down and weigh you down. If you don't read this type of, you don't do. And it's so heavy and burdensome, I can't carry it. And the other side, you're freed from that. You're free in Christ. And the other side is you're free from the power of sin and temptation. You don't have to give in to. Listen, before you're saved, can I tell you, you can be as nice of a nice person as you want. You really can. And you could have victory sometimes, once in a while. But if you're trying to do this thing without the power of the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, you are on a hamster wheel getting nowhere. It's a fruitless effort. You're always going to be frustrated and angry because you can't seem to get there. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the Holy Spirit of God, because He is the one that breaks the chain. Does that make sense? My brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. And I love that word called here. And that's kelio in the Greek. And that really means to call aloud or to invite personally by name. And that blows me away, because the King of Kings is calling you aloud. He is inviting you personally to have and experience that freedom, right? It means to be invited to bear a name or a title. Think about that. The King of the universe has decided, Dana, I am calling you. Flo, I'm inviting you to have this freedom. I don't want you to be burdened with all this legalistic junk. I don't want you to walk in it. I don't want you to be burdened with your sin anymore. I didn't save you to continue in your sin. I saved you to be free from it. And I want you to bring that message of love and hope to others. Isn't that amazing? And I'm going to empower you to do it. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God is for. Does that make sense? Everyone. But he says you're invited. Kaleo. It's the same word used in John's revelation in 19:9. You know, the King of Kings somehow invited a sinner like me to work for him, to know him, to love him. And it says in Revelation 19:9, it's the exact same word, kaleo. It says, "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed recipients of God's divine favor are those who are kaleo, invited, called to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' These are the true words of God, and you have been invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Oh, man, I don't know about you, but I'm not worthy enough to sit at the table. Do you know what I'm saying? But he invited me. I just received it. He called me, and I answered the call. Hallelujah. Thank you. I want freedom in Christ. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, you were called, invited to be free." And that word, if you guys have missed the last couple of weeks, in Greek is eleutheria. And that means liberty. And that means freedom. You were called to be free, not to live as whatever way we want. That would be lawlessness. That would be anarchy. That would be, he's called you to live in a way that honors God, to live as we should, not as we please. That's what biblical freedom means. And it says in that same verse in Galatians 5:13, "But do not use that freedom that you have in Christ to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, I want you to serve one another in love." So don't use your freedom for ungodly things. And sometimes I see that. Well, I'm free, I'm forgiven, right? So I can do what I want. You know what I'm talking about, right? Listen. You were freed from, but you were freed for a purpose. And they go together. Like two sides of a coin. Like two sides of a sword. Okay? Here, we're going to go through. Listen, I want you to realize. Look, you were freed from, and I don't have time to go over all these scriptures. So one of two things. Some people take pictures. I could also send you them via text if you want. Okay, but if you want them, you could look them up for yourself because they're important. But you are freed from condemnation and wrath. Romans says, hey, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you were freed for living righteously with hope. You just weren't free from that wrath and condemnation. You can sit on your duff. You were freed for living righteously in a godly way. You are freed with hope. And that word in Greek, hope, means assurance. So you are freed for living righteously with assurance and confidence, not in yourself or your goodness or your legalism or your good works, but in Christ Jesus. You are freed from slavery to sin and temptation, it says. It says, no temptation sees you except which is common for man, and God will provide a way out. You're freed from that. And you are freed for showing love, concern, care, giving to others, the Bible says. And you can see the scripture verses up there, like 1 Corinthians 12:25 and 2 Corinthians 9:6-11. You are freed from the power of Satan and demons, okay? Because the Bible says if you're saved, greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world. You are freed from their power, right? You no longer have to obey what they tell you to do. And you are freed for, not just from that, you are freed for doing God's will. That's your purpose. Does that make sense, everybody? People just say, well, I don't know about it. Yeah, but you're freed for something. You're freed, Galatians, we already talked about this 3 or 4 weeks ago, from the curse of the law, because it says you're cursed if you don't, unless you do everything the law says and do it perfectly, continually. But you're freed for reconciling with God, being saved, 2 Corinthians 5:18-20 says, and bringing that reconciliation to others, bringing that gospel of good news to others. You're free from that shame, fear, dread before God. Oh, God, I can't go. Yeah, I'm such a sinner. I sinned again. I can't. No, he says you can boldly go through the throne room. You don't have to be afraid anymore because of Christ, not because of you. You're still a knucklehead. You can do it because of Christ. You can boldly go and you say, Lord, I need your help in this situation. I'm succumbing to this temptation. It's killing me. I don't have to do that. Help me, Lord. I confess my sin. If anyone confesses sin, is faithful and just to forgive the sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you're freed for being in a body, helping others to grow together. That's why you're free. God's saying, look, I didn't just free you so that you could have that relationship and sit there like a bump on a log. I'm freeing you for a purpose. God's given you gifts. He's given you ability to share it, to work together, to be a blessing to one another. That's why. And finally, and there's probably more. This is just, but you're freed from the weight of others' legalism, them putting on guilt trips on you. 1 Corinthians 10:29 and 10:31. Brother, you put up a Christmas tree? I notice you use the NIV. Brother, you're wearing a whatever it is. You're showing a little too much skin. I actually had, should I tell a story? Oh, Lord, tell me not. It was a funny story, but Lord, tell me not to say it. Okay, so we're freed from all that, right? Oh, you have to be, you have to keep all the, you have to be circumcised if you're really, oh, you have to be a Jew if you're really, you got to be. No, we need Jesus. Jesus and nothing. It says we're freed for, or to be, I put transformed into the image of Christ, but I should have, it didn't fit, but we're freed for the transformation into the image of Christ. Just like Romans 12 says, man, God wants to not inform us. He wants to transform us from the inside out. That's why we're free. And that word in Galatians, where it says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, that word in Greek is aphorme, and that means as a starting point, a pretext to your sinful nature. Does that make sense? Or as an opportunity, some of your translations might say, or an occasion for sin in others. It was a military term, and it described a home base of operations. So what God is saying is, hey, you're free in Christ. You don't have to do these things. Again, well, I was going to say you get to. What do I want to say, Lester, instead of saying get to?
Want to.
I want to do these things. I want to do these things. So don't use that freedom that you have in Christ as an, oh, I can still get drunk, pastor, and still be saved. Don't use that as an excuse, a home base for you just to go on sinning. Does that make sense? Again, not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying whatever the sin is. Right? It's kind of like this little chart. If there's a little legalism, liberty, and license. Galatians 5:1 says, do not subject yourself again to the yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:1. On the one side, don't do that. And it says, don't use it as a license, or as Galatians 5:13 says, an opportunity for the flesh or the sinful nature, but liberty. You were called for freedom to live for the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I'm so sorry. Question. Yes. Microphone. And we do allow questions or comments. So thank you so much. It's on. Yes, go ahead.
So how does the verse about being lawful, like all things are lawful for me, play mm-hmm. into this?
All things, the one that says all things are
lawful, but not
beneficial,
expedient.
But not.
No, all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial.
Beneficial, right. So just because I can do something doesn't mean I should do something. Am I thinking of what's going to best? Listen, if he has saved me, let me remove all this stuff for you. If he has saved me, so I don't have to be legalistic, I don't have to be bound to sin, just because I have freedom in Christ to do something doesn't mean that I necessarily should. I'm just going to give you for an example, and this is just for me, okay? This is when I was newly saved, I had I was put in charge of it, a Christian singles Bible study, okay? And so I was in charge of the Christian singles Bible study. Now, we went out to Sharky's in Venice, Right? I don't know if you guys know what it is. Anyway, it's just a place on the beach. It's really beautiful down there. They got good nachos, and it's expensive, of course, but you sit right on the beach. Anyway, so this was many, many, many years ago, and 20 years ago. Anyway, and so I got, okay, don't mock me. I got a little girly drink. I got a little pina colada. Okay, a little frozen. Okay, which I am free to, I have one pina colada, so I got a little pina colada, and I had it. Now, I am free to do that, right? What I did not realize was that the person who was also there struggled with alcohol. And seeing the leader come out and do so publicly and get a drink gave him the license to go for it. And it was rum and cokes. And then it was one, and then it was two, and then it was every time. Now, we're at a special place on the beach, and then one after, now it's every time. Now it's every time. And now he's back into his drinking, and this is where he stayed for the rest of his life. Now, that is a heavy, uncomfortable, terrible, yucky thing, and I'm embarrassed to say that, okay? But it's true. So, I am free to do that. However, I don't think anybody has seen me do that ever because I don't want to ever cause anyone to stumble. Does that make sense? So everything is permissible, but not everything's beneficial. It goes on to say in the next verse, in verse 14. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm so sorry. It says this. I forgot. It says, rather, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, or in contrast to that, I want you to use your time serving one another in love. Don't think about how you can, you know, do whatever you want. I want you to use that time. I want you to serve one another in love. And listen, we just went through first the book of 1 John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John a few months back. And here's a couple of verses. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let it show the truth by our actions, right? He wants us to serve. That's an action word, one another. That just doesn't mean giving lip service. That's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we should be doing, right? I see this, any meeting we have, as an opportunity to encourage you in the Lord. Anywhere, anyone. But also to serve, to be a blessing. That's why we give everything away free in Jesus' name. It's, from my business standpoint, financial standpoint, it's dumb. But we've been given so much. And you guys are so generous. We just give it in Jesus' name. Because we all bear his name. And we want him to be glorified and magnified. Does that make sense? That's why we don't cajole you. Lord, we just pray for the second and third tithe offerings. That you're really, if the people are spiritual, just, we don't do any of that. Look, you want to give? We got a little bird box back there. You give. And God will use that. We will use that money for the Lord. The Bible says this in 1 John also. He says, beloved, and that's what he calls you. You're his kid, Abba, dad, you know, beloved. If God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. 1 John 4:11. The King James Version is my favorite, that verse. And serving others out of love frees us from our own self-focus, from our own self-centeredness. It also has a way, when you're serving others, let me tell you, it doesn't matter if they're richer or poorer than you, if they're smarter or what, it humbles you, right? Because I'm here to serve everybody. It doesn't matter to me if you're the king of... there's no king of China. I don't know what I was... whatever, the king of whatever, or, you know what I mean, or the intellectual giant, or if you're a homeless person, I want to love and serve you the same way, because I bear the name of Jesus. He's invited me. He's called me. He's called you. Right? Does that make sense, everybody? No. Our freedom has a purpose. The freedom Christ has given you has a purpose, and that purpose is to love and to serve others. That's why you've been saved. And the more you understand that, the less you take it for granted. Can I tell you what? The older you get, or the more you the more you start thinking about, wow. And you also had something to say. I don't know where the microphone is, but oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, Rebecca told me no.
Yeah.
In something I was just studying for the Book of Jude, we have to take it a little further, and it's not just serving and loving, because even the unsaved serve and love in what
Agreed.
People think. We have to open our mouths, and we have to share the truth, because we can love them right to hell.
Sure.
So it's opening our mouth and sharing the word
yes.
as well while we're loving and serving them.
Yes. Well, and you can do that many ways. Sometimes you can't always, you know, if I hold a door for somebody,
no.
I can't always share the gospel.
No, I know.
But, you know, oh, you know, it's
your neighbor, with, you know, when you have
Absolutely.
These relationships.
I agree.
We think we smile at our neighbor, hi, how are you? And that they're just going to see that we're Christians.
Sure, unbelievers do that.
Right. So that's where, yeah, that's where I'm.
Yes. Jesus said, now what about if your neighbor is a kind of a jerk or is not of the same political affiliation or blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? Jesus even said, what if they're an enemy? Jesus said, I want you to love your enemies
yeah.
and pray for those who persecute you. Or so that's our heart. That's what our heart needs to be. Do you
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, it's not all black and white. I mean, you have to know your circumstances. But I'm just saying when we're, you know, I know that when I see my neighbor or something, I smile. And yeah, I can do
yes.
things for them. But unless I really
yes.
open my mouth with them and really build a relationship
yes.
and then get to that point, they're not necessarily going to see.
Absolutely. Right.
So it's not all black. I don't mean it all black and white.
Yeah, yeah. But the point is, we do what we do to direct people to Jesus. Everything you do is to direct people because you bear his name. Now, if Elijah here holds the door for somebody, a family, right? And they go, oh, you're such, what a polite young man. Oh, what a good. And that's, he could just say, you know what? Yeah, thank you. I am. Now, or he could say, just receive it in Jesus' name. Or he could say, oh, thank you. It's because of the Lord. Now, where is he now directing you? All back to Jesus. And that's why we give everything in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, because we're trying to bring the attention all back. The reason why we're being kind, loving, patient, talking, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Does that make sense? Because we bear his name. I like what Chuck Swindoll had to say. He said, Paul warns his readers against giving our flesh, our natural tendency towards sin, an opportunity by abusing our freedom. The grace of God should never be used as an excuse for succumbing to temptation and sin. Because I believe in and preach grace and freedom, I've occasionally been accused of preaching lawlessness and license. Nothing could be further from the truth. Paul says, and I wholeheartedly agree, that we have been freed from the power of sin. To return to that sinful lifestyle that God has given would be to return to slavery. Instead, having been freed from the dark, shameful oppression of sin, we are to embrace our true calling to serve one another in love. Liberty should result in love, not legalism or license. Right? And when verse 14 says, give me a second. The entire law is summed up in a single commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's, people were trying to ask Jesus, well, if you could sum it all up, what would it be? And then that's what he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, because it's all about him. I like what Martin Luther said, and he said, he said, if you want to know how you ought to love your neighbor, ask yourself how much you love yourself. He said, if you were to get into trouble or danger, you would be glad to have the love and the help of all men, right? You do not need any book of instruction, I would say other than the Bible, of course, he means, to teach you how to love your neighbor. All you have to do is to look inside your own heart as a Christian and it will tell you how you ought to love your neighbor as yourself, if we're honest. And that love will bring about truth as well in our words and our actions. Capiche? Now, some people are not going to like this next verse that I my scripture picture, but that's okay. I think I was supposed to put it up there. Verse 15 in your Bible says, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. And I have kind of a gruesome picture, but it's in a cartoon form, and so I like it. Now, everybody's repulsed by this, right? Well, you should be. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. But, you know, I don't know about you, but when you think about sheep, that's not what I think of. But what we're talking about is friendly fire or spiritual cannibalism or even Christian cannibalism, some people call it, whatever you want to call it. But when I think of sheep, I don't picture this, right? When I think of devouring, biting, devouring, attacking one another, right? I think of the dogs. I think of the wolves, right? And you would expect dogs or wolves to bite each other, right? It's their nature. But you wouldn't expect sheep, especially sheep, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But that's what I find can be the most damaging, actually, is the petty, selfish, self-centered, self-focused natures of Christians. Now, we can all be, even as a believer, if we give into our flesh, that way. But if we're walking according to the Spirit, right, to honor Him, then we don't want to give in to that. That's going to be few and far between. I've been in places of ministries most of my life. In fact, I think that's why God started this church. I'm like, the pastors are the most jealous. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Let me just shut up there. Sometimes people in ministry, they're making it all about themselves. And if people are going to you instead of someone else, well, they don't like that because they need to be the one that everybody likes. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. We're to direct people right past us to the Lord. So, and this is how the church looks when we allow, on the one side, either liberty, you know, or I should have put license is what I should. I shouldn't have put liberty there. Please forgive me. This is what the church looks like when we allow license is what I should have put there. I'm going to redo that when I get home. Or legalism in. It promotes selfishness and self-righteousness. And if you want to see devouring, put selfish people together, led by the flesh, and you'll watch that they'll consume one another. Well, I'm righteous, I do this. Well, I'm righteous, I do that. No, I'm right, and you... Oh, my goodness. Biting and devouring each other. You're going to be destroyed. Don't do it. How about instead, you love one another self-sacrificially, right? How about that? And don't do it for me. Don't do it for Home Fellowship or Shepherd's Hour Christian School or whatever. You do it for Jesus. Don't do it for mom and dad. Don't do it for your work. Don't do it so people say, what a great guy you are. What a great gal you are. You do it to bring honor to the one who invited you, who called you to bear his name. Not because you have to, but because you want to. And no one can make that decision but you. For you, right? Capiche? Verse 15. Yep, not going to finish what I want. Oh yeah, that's 6, okay. 16. So I say, live by the Spirit. Oh, I forgot my illustration. Sorry, that should have been in my head. I have a visual illustration that I meant to bring. I now realize it's right next to the chair, so I wouldn't forget it where I was sitting. Yeah. So you're going to have a nice visual illustration next week. Well, Gary, it looked a little like this. When it says in verse 16, so he's like, Paul's saying, so in contrast to biting and living selfishly and self-focused, self-centeredly, I want you to be God-centered, others-centered. He's saying, hey, guys, he's saying, I'm saying live by the Spirit. Or some of your translations will say, I like even better, walk by the Spirit. We'll talk about that in a minute. And you'll not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So rather than living selfishly or self-centeredly, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's his image that you bear. And sometimes we can't always share the gospels like we gave you. Sometimes you're the only Jesus that people are going to see or hear. And can I tell you, before I got saved, because I grew up in a church, but I wasn't saved. And I remember watching Christians. They didn't know I was watching them. They just thought I was one of them because I was sitting with them. I wasn't one of them. I was a religious guy. And I was watching how they acted. Can I tell you? A lot of times, they were very petty and bitey and devouring and selfish and self-centered. And I was like, man. But the Lord was so merciful and so gracious and so good. He spoke to me anyway. He's saying, they're not doing it right. But look at my word. Look what it says. Look at my son. But I want people to be able to look at me so I can reflect his image. I want people to be able to look at you so that you reflect his image. Does that make sense, guys? And so he says, I want you to clothe yourself. That's something that you do. That's a choice that you make. Thank God Chris clothed himself this morning.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for that. And everybody says amen. But that was a choice he made. We got up, just like I made this choice, believe it or not. I chose this shirt. I chose these pants. Put it on, right? You have to choose to not put on your own responses, your own self-centered nature. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, and if you do that and make that choice, and don't think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's where the sin starts, kind of up in our melon, right? It'll come to all of us, but it's when you start mulling around, don't think about those things. The Bible says in that Galatians 5:16, I like this scripture picture, because he's just walking along. You see him, he's got the word of God in his hand tucked under his arm, right? But he's like, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of your flesh. So walk by the Spirit, live by the Spirit. It's the same thing. And you won't gratify your desires of the flesh. And I don't know if we can see this up here, but it says, how do we live and walk in freedom? Somebody asked me that this week, so that's why I'm touching on it. But here's a couple things. There's an active side to walking, right? It's an action. So there's an active side, walking with Jesus, right? Galatians 5:16 says it, walk by the Spirit. But there's also a passive side that we're going to, get to in a few minutes. We're going to get to either this week or next week in Galatians 5:18 that says you need to be led by him. So there's an active side where you choosing to walk, and there's a passive side where you're just saying, Lord, I surrender. Lead me to where you want me to walk in the Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't carry out the desires of your old nature. And if you're led by the Spirit, you won't be weighed down with all that weight of the law. And that when it says walking, it implies progress. You're moving along. Something's happening. And that's what it needs to be. We're walking from where we are to where we need to be. That's why you're reading your Bible. That's why you're coming to Bible studies. That's why you're checking out devotionals. That's why you're coming to these studies, because you want to go from where I am to where he wants me to be. And then once you learn this, you got to take it home and you have to change something. Something's got to change, right? If you just go home and James says, hey, don't be like those people who hear the word and don't do it. You got to change. Allow the word to kind of permeate, change how I live. Step by step, moment by moment. And here's the reason why we have to continually ask the Lord, fill me up, focus me, Lord. Because without the Holy Spirit of God and calling on him and relying on him continually, our flesh is going to get in the way. Because our flesh is always warring against our spirit. But as a believer submits to the Holy Spirit's control instead of their own desires, they move closer in their spiritual life. They move towards the Lord in their spiritual life. And so it's the Holy Spirit that's the source of our power. It's the Holy Spirit that's the source of our direction. But the believer is commanded to also walk by the Spirit in faith. Okay? And so that's what we need to do, is to be obedient to the Lord. Because Galatians 5:17 says that we're in a tug of war with our flesh. Even if you're saved, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, your flesh says, I know the Lord says, Natalie, that you're to serve the Lord. But your flesh says, you know what? I want everybody to serve me. So I know God tells you to serve the Lord, and I know he says to serve others, right? But you know what? I like when people serve me. Maybe that's why I like, you know, whatever the case may be, that's what our flesh says. Don't do what God wants. Do what you, there's, so you have this tug of war going on inside you. And the Bible says, for the flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that sometimes you don't even do what you want. But if we're led by the Spirit, if we're walking by the Spirit, if we're calling on him, Lord, help me to walk by. Help me to remember I'm bearing your name, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to handle this situation right. Help me to respond correctly here. We won't give in to that fleshly nature. I like what Charles Spurgeon had to say. And he said, walk under the Spirit's power, following his guidance. He said, the Holy Spirit never leads a man into sin, ever. That's your flesh. It says the Holy Spirit never conducts him into self-indulgence or excess. He says, be obedient to the great principle of the Spirit that goes with the doctrine of grace and salvation by faith, and you will not be obedient to that lusting of the flesh that is in you by your selfish nature. And then he goes on to say, it's the flesh that is the performer, but it is the Holy Spirit that's the transformer. Does that make sense? And whatever you feed is what's going to grow. Are you feeding the Spirit of God? You know, it's not a guilt thing. I'm just telling you. You can listen to teachings. I will give you a plethora on any book of the Bible you want. Good, solid teachers, not selfish teachers. We'll give you, we'll give you Bible studies. We'll hook you up. We'll give you books. We'll give you anything, devotional, whatever you want, anything, regardless of cost, to help you grow in the Lord. So that you, I, we can help reflect the glory of God to other people. Does that make sense, everybody? And Pastor Gary, I'm going to ask you how long I've been teaching. All right, I can't go on then. He goes on to say, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Verse 18. And I think that's probably as far as I can go without. So next week, what we're going to talk about, and we can ask questions, but next week we're going to talk about specifically, I got a lot of good slides. Who's ready? He's going to tell us here. Here's other things. If you're saved, If you're led by the flesh, this is what not to do. He's going to say, hey, here are these things. I'm going to give you a list even, okay? And I'm going to tell you. And then he said, I'm going to give you some things that you need to put off of your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you some things you need to put on by the Spirit of God in your life. Because I've called you. I've invited you. And Rebecca, you had your hand up, so... Legend, you can, yeah, thank you. Microphone. Thank you.
Can you go back to the slide, the rainbow slide with the love on it?
Yes, I think so. Back, yes, back. Keep going. Where did you say? Which one?
The rainbow one that says love one another.
I don't even remember. That was so long ago. My ADD. Okay, way back. Thank you. Yep.
There.
Oh, that one.
Okay, so when I was reading the bottom part, mm-hmm. It says serving others out of love frees us from our own self-focus, self-centeredness, and humbles our pride.
Yes. And pride inhibits the Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah. So it reminded me how it's very easy to get into serving others, but not out of love. Serving others out of self-righteousness, and like how self-righteousness and pride are like cousins, or I don't know, they're married to each other.
Yes.
They always come together. Yes. And it's like only obvious to other people, not to ourselves. So our, yes, our family, we were raised believers.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
yeah. And
we can do that in general. Yes.
And we were, we have like a very deep root of self-righteousness, mm-hmm, and pride.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do.
And we're still working it out.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that God is at work in our family. And it's, yeah, amazing. So I was thinking one of the things that ties to that about like, make sure you're not serving out of wrong motives. 1 Corinthians 13,
yeah,
3. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing.
Yes.
And just how much of a trap that is for believers that have been reading the word a long time, that we can kind of shut the spirit out and just, yes, do the works of the law.
Yes.
Out of the flesh, and it is such a bad witness. It's heartbreaking.
It is, but we can, and that's, thank you so much for I don't know if confessing is the right word, but thank you so much for sharing that, because I think that can be true for all of us, can't we? We can all do these works if they're not stemming from serving others out of love, and what I say is love for Christ and what he has done for us, and because of that, I'm loving others, then our motives are wrong, and it just turns to self-righteousness over time, or pride. And that's why, you know, he says in some of the translations in Galatians, it says in 5:13, humbly serve one others, because when you're doing it humbly, you don't care about the pride is out the door. In the middle of pride is the I, and you're kicking that out of the door. And so that's a good word for all of us. You know, we've given this freedom, you know, for a reason. And it's to serve one another with the love that the Lord has for us. And if you're running out of that, if you're running low, you can ask him for more. You can. You can ask him, we're leaky vessels. You're a leaky vessel. You are. And God can fill you back up. In fact, let's do that right now. Can we do that together? Let's just, if you would, just bow your heads, raise your hands, whatever you want to do, whatever the Lord has you do. But we're going to ask him together. And I'm just going to pray for myself, and you can pray in your hearts as we do this together. But Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you'd help me. Lord, you'd fill me with your love. You'd remind me, Lord, of my purpose, Lord God, in love, Lord God, that you would renew my mind and my thinking, Lord. And Lord, in those areas that I've been selfish and self-centered, Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would wash me clean with the water of the word today, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that I might think correctly, Lord God. And that my motives may be pure, Lord God, because we know that the pure in heart see God. And we want to see you, Lord. We want to see you working in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds. And we want to see you working in the lives of those around us, Lord God. And that can't come from us. It has to come from you through us, Lord. And we're asking you, Lord God, that we would decrease ourself, our pride, and just get out of the way. Lord, that you can be made manifest in us and through us, Lord God, so people can see and hear us, Lord God, and say, I don't know what it is about them, but they just, man, there's something about them I want to find out more. And we can tell them it's all about you, God. It's all about you, Jesus. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know you today, I pray in Jesus' name that today would be the day of salvation, that you would invite Jesus into your heart to be saved, because that's the only way it happens. Unless a person is born again, Lord, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, they cannot enjoy this life. They cannot love like we're supposed to love. So fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love, Lord God, for those who do know you and for those of you who don't, Lord God. I pray that today would be the day that they would invite you into their life, Lord God, and get saved. And that they would share that with a brother or sister here so we could help them to grow. We love you and we bless you. And we thank you for each and every person here and all the wonderful people at home, Lord God. Help remind us, Lord, not only of what we were saved from, but what we were saved for. In Jesus' name, all God's people together say, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus' name.